Okay, so we're diving deep today, and we had a listener request to take a look at tinnitus.
Yeah.
And we're looking at a series of YouTube videos from a guy named James Carthouse,
Right.
and it's called A Permanent Cure for Tinnitus, My
Yeah.
Story. And it's a
Okay.
four-part series.
Four-parter.
So we've got the transcripts here, and we're going to try to really pull out what Carthouse is saying about tinnitus,
Yeah.
what it is, and how he thinks we can find relief from it.
Yeah, and his perspective is really interesting because he comes right out of the gate and says tinnitus is absolutely curable, which, for a lot of folks listening, that might be a very different idea than what they've heard from, doctors or other sources. So it's worth exploring where he's coming from with this.
So to kind of set the stage for where he's coming from, what's his background? What's his own experience with this?
So Carfouse developed tinnitus over 20 years ago, and he partially attributes it to his time as a helicopter pilot in the military. So, exposure to that loud noise. But a really key part of his story and how he got into this is his struggle with chronic stress, which led to anxiety and panic disorder. And he sees a very strong link between his anxiety and his tinnitus.
Okay, so he kind of had this experience with chronic stress and anxiety and panic disorder
Right.
before the tinnitus or alongside the tinnitus. How did that?
It seems like it was kind of in the mix. He doesn't lay out a strict timeline, but he does mention that Dr. Claire Weeks and her work was really important in his journey to manage anxiety, and so I think that really informed his view of tinnitus too.
So Dr. Claire Weeks is not somebody that I'm familiar with. Is that someone that people listening might know, or should we give a little bit of background there?
Yeah, she's not a household name, but her work was very influential in the, 20th century on understanding anxiety, and she was really writing and working before the internet was a thing. So Carthouse came across her work kind of in that pre-internet era, and it really shifted his perspective on how to deal with anxiety. Instead of fighting it, it was more about understanding it and accepting it. And so that's a big theme that runs through his tinnitus perspective too. So what he argues, and this is different than maybe a lot of the medical consensus you'll hear, is that tinnitus is not really a problem with your hearing system in the sense of like a malfunction. It's more about an anxiety-based response.
Okay, so not an ear problem, a mind problem.
Right. He really emphasizes that it's not an ear problem, it's in your mind in the way you're reacting to this perceived sound.
All right, so that's interesting because so much of the information that I've read about tinnitus is focused on, physical causes
Yeah.
and treating it as a physical ailment.
Right. And he acknowledges that there can be physical events of like hearing loss or, exposure to loud noise that might trigger it. But he's saying that's not the core of the problem. The core of the problem is how your mind is reacting to that and the anxiety that gets built up around it.
And this is the idea that it's curable.
That's where he's saying the curability comes in. Because he uses this analogy of driving down a road and you see a particular house for the first time, and you realize, oh, I never noticed that house before, but now that I've seen it,
I can't unsee
I
it.
can never unsee it. And so he says it's kind of like that with tinnitus. Once you understand the mechanism, once you understand that it's really about this anxiety response, that fear kind of melts away, and it's very difficult to go back to that fearful state because you've seen the house, you understand it now.
Okay, so you're saying the cure is not necessarily getting rid of the sound.
Yeah.
It's more about changing how you perceive it and how you react to it.
Exactly. And he really emphasizes that your body isn't malfunctioning. It's actually what he calls hyperfunctioning. So your system is working as it's designed to, but it's this hyperfocus, this hyper awareness. And so he believes that individuals get themselves into this pattern of anxiety around the sound, and therefore they can also get themselves out of it.
All right, so let's talk about the limbic system,
Yes.
because that is a big part of how he explains this.
Right.
So for those of us listening who aren't, neuroscientists, can you give us just a quick overview of what the limbic system is?
Sure. So the limbic system, you can think of it as your brain's kind of rapid response team for danger. So it's the part of your brain that's responsible for those fight or flight instincts, those gut reactions. And Carthouse argues that in the case of tinnitus, this limbic system is essentially misfiring. It's flagging the sound as a threat when it's not a real threat.
Okay, so it's like our brain is sending us a false alarm.
Exactly, a false alarm, and it's reacting as if it were a genuine danger.
Right.
Like, you know, a tiger jumping out or a car horn blaring.
Gotcha.
And so it kicks in that whole stress response, the adrenaline, the, you know, that feeling of panic. And that's what's creating a lot of the distress around the tinnitus.
And this is what he talks about when he's talking about hyperacusis, right?
Yes, exactly.
So for people who don't know what hyperacusis is, can you explain that?
Yeah, so hyperacusis is essentially an increased sensitivity to sound.
Okay.
So sounds that would normally be, you know, tolerable.
Right.
Become really loud or even painful.
Wow.
And Karthaus suggests that because the limbic system is on high alert for this tinnitus sound,
all right,
it kind of spills over into other sounds as well.
Okay.
So it's like your brain is just primed to overreact.
So it's like the volume knob is turned way up.
Exactly. Yeah, the volume knob is up and the sensitivity is just through the roof.
Gotcha.
And he has this interesting way of describing this. He calls it the fear brain.
Okay.
And he says it's like this, you know, entity in your head that can't really reason, but it's trying to protect you.
Gotcha.
So it's just constantly scanning for threats.
Okay.
And unfortunately, in the case of tinnitus, it's misidentified this sound as a threat.
Okay, so we've got this limbic system, the fear brain, that's misidentified this sound as a threat and is kind of overreacting to it.
Right.
And that's leading to the anxiety and the hyperacusis and all of the negative.
Yeah, just a whole cascade of effects.
Right, okay. And he brings up Dr. Jastreboff.
Yes.
Is it Jastreboff?
Yeah, Dr. Paul Jastreboff.
Okay.
So Karthaus really credits Dr. Jastreboff's work with helping him understand this connection.
Okay, and Dr. Jastreboff is known for?
He's a pioneer in developing tinnitus retraining therapy, or TRT.
Right. And what is that from Karthaus's perspective?
So TRT, from Karthaus's perspective, is really about addressing the anxiety response to tinnitus.
Okay.
Not trying to eliminate the sound itself.
Okay.
So again, it goes back to this idea that it's not an ear problem, it's a brain problem.
Right. Okay. So retraining the brain to not react to the sound.
Exactly.
All right. So he also talks a lot about emotions.
Yes.
Right. The frustration, right, the irritability, the sadness, the depression that often goes along with tinnitus.
Right. He really highlights that.
What's his take on that?
He says those are all emotional responses. And he makes a distinction between tinnitus and, say, a physical ailment, where the emotions might be more secondary.
Okay.
Like if you break your leg, you're in pain, you might be frustrated.
Right.
But the pain is the primary thing.
Okay.
Whereas with tinnitus, he's arguing that the emotional reaction is a central part of the problem itself.
So those emotions aren't just a side effect of having tinnitus, they're actually feeding the problem.
Exactly. They're feeding the problem and they're reinforcing that fear response in the limbic system.
Gotcha. Okay, so for people listening, have you noticed a connection between how you're feeling emotionally and how intense your tinnitus is?
That's something to really pay attention to.
Okay, so that brings us to his concept of having 100% control.
Yes.
Over our internal perception.
Right.
So that sounds really empowering, but also maybe kind of hard to swallow.
It can be a tough one to wrap your head around.
Right.
But what he's saying is that we have complete control over how we interpret and react to the world around us. He uses anger as an example.
Oh, right.
He says, you know, anger is a choice. We choose to get angry.
Okay.
And similarly, he's proposing that our response to the sound of tinnitus is also a choice.
Okay.
It's something we can learn to control.
All right. So if it is something we can learn to control, if it is this anxiety response that we can retrain, what are some of the things that he suggests?
Okay.
For people who are dealing with this, what are some of the steps in his retraining process?
So the big idea is to retrain that limbic system so it's not perceiving the tinnitus sound as a threat anymore.
Okay.
And that involves consciously changing our emotional response to it.
Right. So how do we do that?
He uses some really interesting analogies.
Good.
One is overcoming a fear of spiders.
Okay.
So you don't necessarily get rid of the spider.
Right.
But you change your perception of it from this, you know, scary, dangerous thing to something that's harmless.
Gotcha.
You know, it's just there.
Right.
And he also talks about kind of making friends with those childhood fears. Those monsters under the bed that, you know, used to seem so real.
Right.
But now you realize they weren't actually a threat. So it's kind of that same idea with the tinnitus sound.
So we're basically rewriting the story we're telling ourselves about that sound.
Exactly. Yeah. Rewriting the story.
Okay.
And he suggests this idea of letting the noise come,
okay,
without resistance.
Okay.
Kind of like if you have a panic attack,
okay,
fighting it often makes it worse.
No.
But if you can just kind of ride the wave,
okay,
it tends to dissipate.
Gotcha.
And he also talks about this idea that our ears are always trying to hear,
okay,
just like our eyes are always trying to see.
Okay.
So there's this background activity.
Gotcha.
And sometimes we become hyper aware of that background activity,
Okay.
and that's when it becomes a problem.
Interesting.
So he's saying, that sound is normal. It's just that we've become fixated on it.
Okay.
And the key is to kind of defixate from it.
Okay, so what are some of the things that people can do to kind of start that process of defixating?
Well, he really emphasizes this idea of affirmation.
Oh, wait.
So telling yourself, the sound is not dangerous,
Okay.
the sound can't hurt me,
Okay.
it's just a sensation,
All right.
and really believing that.
Okay.
And he says that takes time.
Okay.
It's not a quick fix.
Right.
It's a process of retraining your brain
Okay.
to not react to that sound.
The retraining the limbic system.
Exactly, retraining the limbic system
Right.
to not see it as a threat.
Okay. So it's not about masking the sound. It's not about trying to get rid of the sound. It's about changing your internal reaction to the sound.
Exactly.
Right. So he also talks about what the cure is not.
Yes.
What are some of the things that he says this is not about?
So he's very clear that this is not about eliminating that initial auditory event.
Okay.
So if there was, damage to your hearing,
Right.
that might still be there.
Gotcha.
This is not about fixing that. This is about addressing the reaction to it.
Okay.
He's also pretty skeptical about herbal supplements and other physical treatments
Okay.
that are marketed as cures.
Yeah.
He suggests that any benefit from those might be more related to the placebo effect
Okay.
because they're not addressing that core anxiety response.
Right. So if you think something's going to work, it might work,
Exactly.
even if it doesn't actually have a physical effect.
Right. And he says that's not a bad thing.
Oh.
The placebo effect is powerful,
Sure.
but he's just saying, let's be honest about what's happening here.
Gotcha.
And he also talks about, people who might go to therapy to address past trauma and things like that.
Yeah.
And he acknowledges that stress can definitely contribute to
Real.
overall anxiety levels,
Sure.
but he doesn't believe that extensive therapy focused on, resolving past traumas
Okay.
is a prerequisite for finding relief from tinnitus.
Okay.
So you don't necessarily have to go dig into all your deep, dark secrets
Okay.
to address this. And then he also talks about sound masking.
Okay. Yeah, white noise and things like that.
Right. And he says that can be helpful
Okay.
in the short term
Okay.
to kind of give you a break from the sound.
Gotcha.
But he doesn't see it as a long-term solution
Okay.
because it's not addressing that underlying fear.
Gotcha. So it might be a band-aid, but it's not going to fix the root of the problem.
Exactly.
Okay. And one of the things that he emphasizes is that the cure he's talking about is permanent.
Right.
So what is he basing that on?
So he goes back to that analogy of seeing the house on the side of the road.
Okay.
He says, once you understand that the tinnitus sound isn't a threat,
Okay.
once your limbic system stops reacting with fear,
Okay.
that understanding is kind of permanent.
Okay.
Just like you can't unsee the house,
Right.
you can't go back to being afraid of that sound in the same way
Okay.
because you understand it now.
So you've kind of rewired your brain.
You've rewired your brain.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he says that once you've done that, it's very unlikely to go back to that initial state of fear and anxiety.
Okay. So for people who are listening right now and are dealing with tinnitus and are maybe feeling really frustrated and hopeless,
Right.
what is the main message of reassurance that Carthaus offers?
I think his biggest message is that having tinnitus doesn't mean there's something wrong with you.
Okay.
It doesn't mean your brain is broken or malfunctioning. In fact, he believes your brain is doing exactly what it's supposed to do.
Okay.
It's trying to protect you.
Gotcha.
It's just that it's misidentified this sound as a threat.
Right.
So it's not about fixing your brain.
Okay.
It's about understanding how it's working
Gotcha.
and kind of working with it rather than against it to
Okay.
change that interpretation of the sound.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are the key takeaways from Carthaus's perspective on this?
I think the big picture is that he sees tinnitus as fundamentally an anxiety response
Okay.
that has become attached to a sound. So it's this learned fear that triggers the limbic system,
Gotcha.
and then that creates this whole cascade of negative effects.
Okay.
But the really hopeful part of his message is that he believes relief is possible,
Okay.
and it comes from consciously retraining your brain's emotional response to that sound.
Okay.
So shifting it from fear and negativity
Okay.
to acceptance or even neutrality.
Okay.
And he believes that by doing that, you can essentially put yourself back in control
Okay.
of your internal experience.
Right, so you're not a victim of this sound.
Exactly.
You can actually change how you relate to it.
Exactly.
So as a final thought for everybody listening, if our perception of a persistent sound can be so profoundly changed by shifting our emotional response. What other seemingly fixed internal experiences might also be open to similar retraining?
That's a really interesting question.
Right.
It makes you think about all the things that we perceive as, you know, unchangeable.
Right.
And maybe there's more potential for change than we realize.
Right. Because if we can change our perception of sound, maybe we can change our perception of other things as well.
Exactly. It opens up a lot of possibilities.
Awesome. Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive.
Yeah.
Thanks for walking us through all that.
It's been my pleasure.
And for everyone listening, if you want to learn more about James Carthouse and his approach, you can check out his YouTube channel.
Yep.
And if you're interested in delving deeper into the work of Dr. Claire Weeks and Dr. Paul Jastreboff, we'll include some links in the show notes.
Sounds good.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.
See ya.